Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back to break down that super duper uneventful Survivor 43 finale. I know all of you have been dying since last night to hear what we have to say. I didn't sleep. I just didn't sleep. I couldn't believe that it actually happened. I can't believe this is the reality that we're living in. Michael Gabler has won Survivor 43, defeating Cassidy and Owen in the final three. Jesse Lopez goes down as potentially the greatest fallen angel in the history of Survivor. Carla ended up going home at five, even though there was a lot more to it. Overall, there was not a moment of let up, I feel, in this finale. And it went from start to finish. It was unpredictable. It was wild. And Alexa, I don't know how you feel about it because we haven't talked about anything except the fire making kit, which I woke up to three beautiful texts to. But I really believe, based on what I'm seeing in social media and everything like that, this is going to be the most polarizing season in the history of Survivor. I think that Gabon has been topped. I think this is a season that we are going to see in the top 10 of a lot of people's lists, and we are going to see DFL. I won't say the F word yet because there's going to be plenty coming later. But DFL on a lot of other lists who are so angry that
what's
this
the L in DFL? Why can't I get there?
Last. Dead effing last.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like, don't effing listen, but it's
okay. No, that was a big running thing. Whenever you had like the one person on the team who was out there just to like get the credit for college, and it would be like, yeah, they're gonna finish DFL, and that would be
it's like
it
a DNF, time. DSQ, and a DFL.
DFL, that was it. So
I love that. Yeah, I think, I mean, I have kind of avoided because I watched at like midnight last night. And then I just finished a finale like 45 minutes ago. I think people are going to be hot for a little bit. I think it'll cool down. I don't really know why it's polar. I mean, I know why it's polarizing, but I think that's a social media thing. I think people are going to like relax, for lack of a better term, on it. There's a lot to dive into.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked. And what I deeply appreciated is that I walked into this final five and still I was like, I genuinely don't know who's going to win. Final four, don't know who's going to win. Final three, I did not know who was going to win. And that, Phil, can you see? Are you?
I know. Like, that's the sun drilling me in the face. That's why we don't podcast at 9 a.m. It's
yeah, that's why.
Terrible. I can't see anything.
So, during that final tribal, I was like, this is super evenly matched. And I, like, what more can a person ask for? You know, I really, really appreciated that. I have a lot of feelings about, like, just like how modern Survivor is now. As Phil knows, the one thing that has triggered me more than anything in 43 seasons of Survivor was that they walked into camp and they had a freaking fire making practice kit. I don't know why. I wanted to like throw my phone at a wall. I was like, do it. Like, can these players not do anything on their own? They were going to practice anyway. I don't know. I to this day still don't know why that bothered me so much, but it just felt like a lot of things about Modern Survivor that I didn't like anymore. It was like, okay, like don't even talk to each other. Just everyone go around and make fire. Like there's no selling. So I don't know. That really bothered me, but I thought Gabler was such a unique winner. All of the post 40 winners have been so unique and so different. He's the second oldest winner. He's actually going to donate the money. How many people tried to say that in early seasons? I just think it's so different and it's really cool because he, like, I don't think his kind of player would have won a long time ago. And I feel like that's just a really cool thing to watch. He is reminiscent of an international Survivor winner. That's what everybody's been saying. Yeah, I'm sure. That was the one that Robert and I did together. So that's why this is so. But I thought it was really cool. I think he did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, so I feel like the Marianne vote at the last final tribal, which was spoiled as all hell, right? Which sucks. It sucks when these things get spoiled. And what's annoying for Alexa and I is whenever we say something that ends up being in line with the spoilers, we get about 25 trolls in the chat over here being like, you guys read spoilers. It's like, well, now we know that this happens. So yeah, we don't read the spoilers, but if you're going to come in and say that, that's not going to help anybody. So the Marianne thing was spoiled, but I thought equally as shocking as what this result was tonight. It just doesn't feel as shocking because pretty much 95% of people sitting down to watch that episode knew that Marianne was going to win because it had been spoiled to death. This had not been spoiled. And the way that people were going with this, they really thought it was going to be Cassidy. It seemed like from the Edgic perspective, which Edgic is dead. You can throw that in the toilet now. They had Cody, then they had Jesse, and then they had Cassidy. And guess what? Every single one of them lost. So
I think Gabler, what's crazy about Edgic is that it's really biased. Gabler had the edit. He had a confessional on every episode. He was extremely, like all the things we were saying, like we haven't seen, like Cassidy said her strategy, but we're not seeing it. Gabler has been slapping us in the face with the strategy.
Yeah.
Edgic just picks they didn't people that they like, win. If I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, they're biased. I think that's the best way you can put it is it was biased. And I think that's why the reaction to this finale is so extreme. Because we're going to talk about whether this jury was bitter. We're going to talk about whether or not it should have been 7-1, which I thought was shocking. But I thought it was shocking when Marianne won 7-1 over Mike last season. So it's kind of like, you know, one and the other. I thought those were shocking results. I thought they were closer than what we saw. But anybody who's saying that, this was invisible, people are comparing this to Natalie White. Like, give me a break. Like you said, we heard him say hide in plain sight about 7,000 times. He was the Alec Gabler. And I made some very good points on the after show last night that I need to bring up here because I love when people bring up good points, especially when they're myself. So a couple of things that I really like.
Some coffee.
Yeah, Alexa, that's straight vodka. She's not drinking water. welcome to 9 a.m. on a Thursday. But one of the things that I really liked about this season and that I think is going unnoticed right now and will become more noticed in the future, there were so many scenes that we all sat here saying, oh my God, that had no point. Like, why did we watch Gabler and Carla talk about voting out Jesse because Jesse was the biggest threat? Because it was showing how close Gabler and Carla were. Even though it might not have been seen to everybody out there, those types of scenes were showing that Gabler had a relationship with Carla and was able to walk over to her and say, we should vote out Jesse, when Jesse was pretty much one of her strongest allies in the entire game. We saw that random Cody scene when Cody was talking about that. Guess what? Ride or die is pretty much the reason that Gabler won this season, because whether he got Carla's vote or not, he was probably going to win because Cody and Jesse were so aboard the Gabler Galleon.
They were steering the Gabler Galleon. I will say the main thing that is like I'm bothered wasn't shown is when would it, like, what is the ride or die? It took me like three references to realize, oh, that was Cody, Jesse, and Gabler. I think that was like a big disservice to not show that enough. And the Gabler and Carla interaction, that was like one scene. So I think we got enough Gabler to, like, I feel satisfied that he won and I understood why he won. But They just like, could they have like, could they at least have said ride or die like once during the season?
Well,
what is this?
I think most of it happened at Final 10, which is why people have kind of forgotten about it a little bit, because that
wasn't the split tribal. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a while ago. And after that, Gabler, Jesse, and Cody were never really able to get on board on the same thing. The other thing that I think people need to think about with this though is, if you look at the people who never won Survivor, and I'm not going to count the people who went to Final Tribal Council and lost, because then we get into the Russell Hance argument, and that's not what this is, right? But if you look at the people who didn't make it to Final Tribal Council, Rob Cesternino, Johnny Fairplay, David Wright, these types of players who were so good at the game, changed kind of the direction of the way Survivor was going, and didn't get to the end, and had Rick Devins have this like fallen angel type thing. Jesse is a top five player to not win the game of Survivor. So you have to edit a Rob Cesternino in new school Survivor, essentially, in control of every vote, has idols, making big flashy moves, has an unbelievable story, which Rob didn't have back in Amazon. He was a horny 22-year-old. There's a big difference between his story and Jesse's story here. But my biggest thing is, when that type of player is being edited, Survivor generally goes off the freaking deep end. Russell Hance had like 118 confessionals. Rob had like 90 something. And I think Matt and Jenna combined didn't even hit his number. You know, you see that Boston Rob in what do you call it? Redemption Island. We see that all the time. Jesse ended this season with 60 confessionals and Mike Gabler had 46. Survivor had no choice but to edit the hell out of Jesse, because Jesse was such an unbelievably impressive player. I cried when the man got voted out. I felt so horrible for him, even though the dream final three really was happening, because it was so unpredictable. For my entertainment, best final three I could have asked for. For the longevity of Survivor and for me feeling good as a person, damn, I wanted Jesse to win that. But they had to edit him, and I actually think they did a really good job of editing him evenly. But the hard part was, now where do you fit in Gabler and Cassidy? Gabler and Cassidy both end this season with more confessionals than Parvati had back in Fans versus Favorites. That's all I'm going to say. Period. End of sentence. I'm moving on.
How did they do versus Erica and Marianne?
Let me look that up real quick, and you continue on.
Okay.
Why do you want to know that? There. That'll be my question to you.
Yeah, I get the Parvati Fans versus Favorites comparison, but like the way the confessionals are edited now, it's just a completely different. It is a completely different show. I can start going on that tangent if we want.
Well, here, I got it. I got it already, because luckily the Reddit, the person who does this on Reddit now makes it so clean and so neat.
I know,
and
it looks so nice. So good. Thank you, whoever you are.
So Erica had 39.
Oh God, that's awful.
That's awful. She had 39, average of 3 per episode. Marianne had 48, and Mike, who finished second, had 57 on that season. From what I saw, and it wasn't on Reddit yet, I think I saw it on Sucks. So I don't know if this is like the official numbers or whatever. I don't know if it's the same person who goes around to both and just does whatever. Gabler finished with 46. And Cassidy had 44. So Cassidy had better edit from a confessional standpoint than Erica did in Erica's winning season. And Gabler had more confessionals than Erica and had 2 fewer than Marianne, which in my opinion, Marianne was a much more, it was really her final end game. She had 19 confessionals in the final 2 episodes. That blew her up. Prior to that, she didn't have really that much going on.
Yeah. She like got hot versus Gabler, I feel like was pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense, because he was like, he had the, like a tough start. Like I saw you, what you retweeted, like never forget that Gabler threw palm fronds at people at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes his win really fun. He's also like mostly similar to Marianne. Like they're both like larger than life personalities. And I certainly have a complaint about the fact that he played an under the radar game, and how many women have played an under the radar game and they didn't get the kind of edit that he did. But he like won an immunity. He's a very loud guy. He's like dresses loud. He like was made to be on TV, which I think like maybe is something he would never say, but I think that's why he was so electric. Like he's not the kind of person that we see on Survivor a lot, which doesn't make sense, because like he makes fire like every single day. Like he like is physically what a Survivor player like you imagine would look like. But I don't he's an old school winner in a deeply new school season. And I think that's what like makes it taste so good. I think that's like, he's he like doesn't, I don't know if this is conscious or subconscious. It's like, he doesn't seem to buy in. His game doesn't buy into the new school game. And I think that's very satisfying.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm looking at just one more thing on these confessionals here. So Erica in her final two episodes had 19 confessionals. Marianne in her final two episodes had 19 confessionals. Gabler in his final two episodes only had 14. So had
he was Gabler, quiet, yeah.
Yeah, so like last night he did have 10, but had Gabler gotten that 19, he would have had a better edit than both of them. Cassie was right on their heels. She had 18 and finished 4 behind Marianne and 5 ahead of Erica. So it's like, when you look at this, you see, I know you watched at like midnight. So watching this live and live tweeting and doing all of that, I had a really fun time because mm-hmm. as soon as Jesse went home, the hatred on Twitter about make sure to edit your female winners better. We're so tired of this. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, Cassidy hasn't won yet. Like, what is going on? So I thought that was very interesting because once Jesse went home, pretty much everybody just assumed, okay, this has to be Cassidy, because Gabler isn't something that we have seen in recent seasons at all. We have not seen that archetype. We haven't seen this since Bob. I mean, this character never makes the cut, right? Like, this character is always Paul Wachter or whatever his name last name was from Millennials vs. Gen X. Yeah, there you go. Like, that's where this guy normally goes. And I think one of the big things, and we saw this at the final tribal, and I was kind of surprised at how it went and that he got the votes because of it. But Alexa and I always like to play nicey-nice with each other, and then every now and then we argue with each other, and then we get bitter, and then we stop. Like, I don't know who watched the Will episode, but me and Will argued for like an hour straight, and it's like we like, Will, I just have to understand that that's where it's going to happen on that episode. Alexa and I try to play nicey-nice with each other, but one thing that we really disagreed about was the Ellie boot, and not even so much disagree, but just we argued, like, that wasn't a good move. That was a good move. We got to talk, like, blah, blah, blah. It was too vocal. Nobody's going to trust Gable or whatever. That was his move of the season. That's all he talked about at Final Tribal, and it won him the votes. It's crazy.
It did. And a lot of, there's a comment here. That's a good point. There was a lot of pre-merge talk in which never happens. Like, Carl asked Cass specifically about that. And like, Ellie came up and it's been 15 minutes. We have not even talked about Janine. My God, put her on every single jury. She is the new Eliza. Yeah. Janine, if you've ever listened to this, I'm sorry for underestimating you at the beginning of the season. When they cut to her like 5 times, jaw dropped with Jesse having her idol, I was dead. And then on top of that, like the cherry on top, Gabler says he's going to donate the money, and they cut to her with it was the funniest thing. She was amazing. But to your point, like, Janine was able to corroborate like Gabler's stories, and Carla, James, and Ryan were able to do that with Cass. So it was really interesting that those came up so often. And maybe it's because like Jesse had the really hot finish that they kind of had to dig a little bit earlier. But I thought that was a really interesting point. And not to get too far into it, I'm really bummed that like we couldn't talk to Ellie. Like,
yeah,
we're not going to talk to Ellie about this. And that just like sucks.
Yeah. And that's where I thought the after show is the smoothest it had been by far. I think they did a pretty good job with it this time, because now that they had like the full year to figure out how do we want to make this better? What were the complaints from the jury? They tried to make it more like the reunion, but you need to have the pre-merge people, because Ellie is arguably the most important 11th place finisher in the history of Survivor.
Yeah, she is like, I guess, vital to this.
Yeah, I guess 11th place isn't right, because like 11th, there have been jury votes from 11th placers who have mattered, like Chris Noble or whatever.
It reminds me of like, remember in Ghost Island, they talked about Morgan like 900 times. Like, Morgan was extremely important to all this buildup. Like, Ellie was extremely important to how this ended.
She was. And it would have been nice to hear from her and be like, why was this so important? I think the problem for Cassidy and Owen at Final Tribal, because everybody was floored when Gabler won at 7-1. I mean, Cassidy's face, Owen's face, everybody was floored. I think even the jury was surprised that it was 7-1. I think they all knew, because John had asked me, do you think James was voting for first or second? I said, I think he was voting for first. I think they all legitimately came into that Final Tribal not knowing who they were going to vote for. And Gabler just had the best Final Tribal. I think the hard part for Cassidy and Owen was they didn't see anything of Gabler's game. They did not know what he was doing behind the scenes. They were kind of taking him for granted. They were underestimating him. They didn't realize that he had a relationship with everybody and whatever he was doing was working. Because Cassidy went into that Final Tribal, and I think she had an okay Final Tribal, but Gabler's was so much better. And I think that's where all the votes came from. And I think the reason was Cassidy was taken aback by the fact that Gabler had so much to go on, because the game that it seemed like he was playing, it didn't feel like he had that much to go on.
Yeah, I think she had a really strong tribal. Like it went a lot longer than usual, which maybe I'm not right about that, but
no, you are.
What I liked is it felt like it went on for a really long time. I was like ping ponging on who was going to win. I thought Cassidy had it until Gabler's kill shot was like the Marianne kill shot. When they said Cassidy could have gone home instead of Ryan, that's just like, you can't fight that. Mm-hmm. And like that Gabler was a part of that decision. And also like we can start to move into this. She was like knocked for not giving up her immunity. And that in my mind I've never been on a jury, but I feel like that's what this fire making challenge is turning into. And for somebody who won 3 immunities, it's really hard to hear like she didn't earn it enough because she won individual immunity. And that's like a flaw in the fire making challenge in my mind.
I agree with you, but I don't think she didn't get the votes because of that. I actually think the best part of her final tribal council was her response to that. I thought that was the best part because I thought she really said to them, like, why the hell should it matter? I played good enough of a game. I deserve to be sitting here. I already beat Jesse. I don't need to now take Jesse out of the game too. I strategically put Gabler in there because he was the better one at making fire. If you're only going to vote because he beat Jesse in the fire making challenge, then so what? There's nothing I can do. I don't think that that was the reason she lost.
Well, I don't think there was one reason, because, and I wish they didn't say this, but whoever mentioned that they had checklists for all 3 of them, I'm sure every jury does that. But in my mind, like last season, it was 7-1. This season, it was 7-1. I think that encourages the group to go in and vote together. And so I am saying all of this like with being extremely happy that Gabler won, but that's like, to me, that's like, oh, okay. Gabler said like Gabler beat Jesse in fire, or Gabler talked about this. Like that's a check in his direction. And I guess like that is how it works, but to have made it so like, merit, I don't know how I'm trying to word this, but do you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying. And I know what this new jury format started in what, 34. It was Zeke who kind of like owned it in 34 in Game Changers to kind of get Sarah the win. And then we had a close one in 35. We had a close one in 36, obviously. Since then, we haven't had a close final trouble. We haven't. No. 37 wasn't close. 38 was 9-4. 39 was like 6-3 or something like that. Like I'm talking like a 5-4. Yeah. Like I'm talking like a one vote decider. We haven't had that. I think jury format impacts that greatly.
Yeah, I agree. I think being discussion based gives everyone a chance. If I'm like, Phil, I voted you out because XYZ, Will can be like, that's not true because I talked to them about this. Like it's immediately shut down. And not that you should like BS your way through final tribal, but that has worked in the past and people do that. And if you went up and like formally asked me a question, no one would be able to interject. I feel like the discussion allows for the jury to completely dominate the conversation.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I am not saying this in any way. I'm saying this strictly because I'm like bothered by how the format works, not because I'm bothered by the outcome.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it really showed too, because Cassidy lost the game at thank you, Cork Stalls. So Cassidy, I believe, truly lost the game when Cody and Jesse said, no, that's not what happened. I think that's when she lost the game. I think that was the exact moment, which is why I think the fire making thing is an easy scapegoat for the Cassidy stands, which, you know, I would be doing the same thing if Michelle lost at final 4.
I think it's part of it. It's more of like a larger, like the fact that the question was asked, the fact that Noelle asked her that, I was like, ugh.
Now, I had tweeted this and I want to hear your opinion on this. Do you think that the fire making had more emphasis on it this season because Jesse was an 8-0 winner if he makes it to the end and everybody knows he's the main guy that needs to be taken out?
Yeah, I think a little bit because he like it seemed like it was common knowledge that he was going to win. And it was I think it had more of an exclamation point. And also people said it more because how many seasons have they been doing this? It's almost like almost 10 seasons.
Yeah,
they've been doing the fire making.
Right?
Yeah. 35. Yeah, so it's been 8 seasons. People know how to do it now. And like they have fire making kits. Mm. Gabe kept saying, I want to end with an exclamation point. I want to end with a bang. Put me in, put me in. Jesse, like knowing automatically that he's going there. I think it has become ingrained enough in the game that you don't have to like lie to Jesse. You just tell him to go make fire. So I think as a result of that, it gives Gabler more of an exclamation point. We can speculate all day if Cassidy put herself in, but like you said, and like she said, if she put herself in, she wouldn't have been there. So why would she have ever done that?
She made a great point of course you wanted me there because Jesse would have beaten me. Like he knows he would have beaten me. And I think that's good. What's your weakness? What's your strength? And again, I think that she argued it well. I think if she put Owen in, I don't think Owen wins. I really don't.
I don't think he would have won. Getting there. Yeah.
If Owen goes to fire and beats Jesse, I think it comes down to Gabler and Cassidy. I still think the two of them get the votes. And I think maybe Owen gets astray here or there, but they weren't. It's the same thing as when Heather lost to Deshaun. When Dean beat Lauren.
Yeah.
It didn't put them over the top. And I don't think that's what put Gabler over the top. I do agree with you that it's stupid that the question is happening, but I also think that
I think it gets you from like an 8 to a like
yeah.
Gabler's an 8, Cassidy's a 7. It gets him like an 8 to a yeah. 9. I think if he was already losing, like you said, with Owen, it wouldn't have mattered. But I think if you're dead tied, they would have picked that. But then like Cassidy won more immunities than Gabler. It all depends on how people win.
I think it was social game 100%. And I think
absolutely.
I think the problem with Cassidy was, and this really showed in the final tribal council, right? Cassidy had good relationships with a couple people. Gabler had good relationships with everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the difference in this game. Owen couldn't make relationships because there was nothing that he could do. The poor guy just sat there and Charlie Brown his way to the end and then said he failed and everybody tried to lift him up. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, no, you failed. Get the hell out of here.
I know. But Jeff was like, he was like, we all lost. Yeah, the reunion didn't really do much for me, but it's fine.
I get it. They want to lift the guy up. They're all hammered except Sammy, who's bored out of his effing mind because he can watch everybody drink and he's just got to sit there and pretend that he gives a shit.
And he finally said he was 19 and everyone like had a meltdown.
I know. That's why we got to get this. We got to get this back in America so he can just like go find somebody at a corner store to get him some beer. But I forget what my point was, but what were we talking about? We were talking about Gabler, Cassidy, Sammy. Owen. Oh, the final thing with Owen failing. So he never was able to make relationships. Cassidy and Gabler both made relationships. I think the problem with Cassidy was most of her relationship building was in Coco. And outside of Coco, she didn't really have much. Gabler, because he was such an outcast on Baca with Owen and Sammy, who kind of liked him, Janine and Ellie didn't like him. He had to go and make relationships with everybody. And that really worked in his favor because almost every time we saw it, Michelle versus Aubrey, Michelle worked everybody on that jury, except for Nick, except for Neil, who wasn't on the jury, except for Joe, and except for whoever the third vote was. She worked everybody else on that jury. Aubrey was very much her tribe and Nick Mariano, who just didn't want to vote for Michelle to win. Like that is literally what happened. And so I think that happened again here, whereas Marianne totally went across tribal lines when she had to. She did everything she could to go across tribal lines. Erica, I don't know what the hell happened, and I don't care if people hate me for saying that. I still don't get it. But I think that was just a good final three for Erica. Deshaun wasn't going to win. Xander wasn't going to win. Good for her. She wins. But Marianne went across the tribal lines, and I think that's something that people need to understand when they go out to play season 45 or 46 or whatever. One, don't climb a mountain like whatever happened in the season 44 preview, but also you need to make sure that even people who aren't in your alliance, and this goes back to season one, feel like they are important. And I think I'm not saying Cassidy didn't do that at all. Gabler just did it better, and that's what ultimately won him the game.
Totally. Yeah. And I think being you have to balance this weird thing of being an outcast, but not being being an Owen, you know, it's kind of hard to balance that. I also think based on the little amount of time that I've been on the internet today, I have a much less extreme opinion than a lot of others. I think it was tough that Cassidy's number one was no longer her number one because she never had somebody to vouch for her the way that Gabler did, or you always need that one person who's always going to defend you. When instead that isn't what ended up happening. But I think overall, I really appreciated that up until like the final third of the final tribal, I really still couldn't tell who was going to win. And that, like you said, it just doesn't happen anymore. Exactly. Like there, and the biggest surprise was how much of a blowout it was. And I think a lot of that is a result of the jury format, not that Cassidy played a one vote winning game.
Yeah. And again, I think this just goes back to how wonderful Survivor is when it's not spoiled.
Oh my God. Phil, can you tell me the numbers that you told me before we were online, just to clarify the fact that this wasn't spoiled?
So this is what drives Alexa and I nuts. And I don't think we're going to do a boot list for next season, because from what I've heard from people is that next season is spoiled. And I don't know how true that is, but I'm going to assume. Yeah, okay. I know. It's December. It's already spoiled because there's probably somebody, it's always somebody from the community, and it's not somebody even on that season, but there's always somebody in the community who just needs the attention so freaking bad that they go and spoil it. It's so aggravating. Like, go find a freaking job, get a life. But in season 42, our winner of the bootless game had 28 points. This season, they had 53. In season 41, I think they had something like 24. This season, they had 53. It's pretty freaking obvious, okay? And what's annoying is Alexa and I do this podcast. We still have our thoughts and everything because we're not actively searching for spoilers. But when it's constantly being thrown in your face, it's pretty hard to keep looking away because eventually it starts to be like, okay, this is actually going to happen.
And it's like, it's the psychology of like, we get all these comments that are like, have you thought about Marianne? Have you thought about Marianne? And we're like, no. And then we're like, oh,
that's why
it messes us up. Yeah.
And again, like, everybody who's claiming they couldn't see Gabler's win, this was a terrible edit, blah, 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 it's because you guys didn't know he won. That's the only reason you couldn't. All you brilliant people who knew Erica and Marianne were going to win, the only reason you knew they were going to win is because you go on Reddit Spoiled Survivor.
Yeah, I thought Gabler had a solid edit, but also a very real edit because he had a rough first five episodes. I wanted to cut – when Sammy, like, votes for Gabler, I wanted to cut to Gabler's an effing idiot, like, so badly.
You know, Adam and I all sat here and said, if it's not going to be Jesse, it's going to be Gabler. We all saw it.
It's there. Not every. A lot of them had a chance to win.
A lot of them. Yeah. I do want to ask you, though, because you had brought it up. So I do want to ask you this.
Okay. I had something else, but I'll keep going.
Let's talk about the jury poisoning. Okay. So the jury poisoning, which is the phrase that is being used right now, Carla and Cassidy. Not that somebody actually got poisoned. Yeah, nobody died.
Gabler's been poisoning everybody.
Yeah, Gabler poisoned everybody. But Carla going to Cassidy and saying, if you don't do this, I'm not voting for you. I'm going to poison the jury against you, all that. It has led to some pure vitriol on the internet towards Carla, which is so unwarranted and disgusting, but it's so bad. It's so bad. And it's like relentless. And it's from these people who claim to support Carla and people like her. And it's just disgusting. But
everyone loved Carla when, like, I love Carla.
Love Carla.
But like, you guys can't fawn over her and then be mad when she does something after not eating.
Well, she didn't vote for a woman to win because she hates women. But like, why do you believe that Carla actually had enough sway on this jury to poison them against Cassidy? And do you think that she really was going to vote for Gabler no matter what? Or do you think she just respected Gabler's final tribal council performance?
You know, it's hard to tell, and I'm saying all of this with the context of a jury votes the way they vote. Like, I don't really believe in a bitter jury. I think, one, I will say, when Carla said that, I was so out on that. Like, when Spencer did that, it doesn't happen often, but like Cassidy said in her confessional, that is like, that's just like icky, and if anybody did that, I would hate that. Whether or not she actually went and did it, I guess like to an extent she did, but I think this is more a result of a 26-day season than it is anything else. First of all, Carla knows she's going home. Like at that final tribal that she was at, like you got to swing for it. Like she's throwing Jesse. Like I totally respect that. You got to do that. So the only thing I had a problem with was her saying she was going to poison the jury. Because I've never liked when people do that, and it feels very like meta. However, I think a knock on the 26-day season is that Carla had 36 hours at home to stew on it and then go talk to Cassidy versus otherwise she would have, well, I guess it's still a little.
It's still like 2 or 3 days. It's not as much of a difference, but.
But do you know what I'm saying with that?
I
There's
do.
Just not enough time to like get over stuff. And I think even Cody too, like Cody's an easygoing dude. I feel like you'll never see him being mad, but that was definitely still hitting him. And the game ended at that point.
Yeah.
You know? So no, I don't like that she like threatened to poison the jury. In terms of actually doing it, I think every jury member does that to an extent. The difference is people just don't say it out loud or use it as a bargaining chip.
That's as ammunition. Yeah.
When I saw that she voted for Gabler, I was floored.
I texted
absolutely
McKenna.
Floored.
I texted McKenna and said, because I was texting McKenna throughout, and I was confident Gabler was going to win once the final tribal got going because he was owning it. But then when they showed Carla's vote for Gabler, I actually texted McKenna and said, okay, now I'm not so sure because it felt too obvious. The obvious vote were Jesse and Cody. Why did we not see Cody or Jesse voting for Gabler? That's who it should have been. When we saw the Carla one, my jaw kind of hit the floor and I'm like, wait, it's about to be 7-1 the other way. And the only vote that Gabler actually got was Carla because she was bitter. I don't think Carla was bitter. And I will say this too. I don't think Carla had enough sway over that jury. I think people are greatly overestimating her control of that jury and her persuasion power over that jury. I don't think she had it. I think that Carla was probably not going to vote for Cassidy going into that final three. However, I do think that if Cassidy had like a 10 out of 10 final tribal, Carla would have voted for her to win. I don't think Carla got the answer she wanted from Cassidy and was already trying to find a reason to not vote for her. So that doesn't help Cassidy. But I'm all like, I hate it. I think it's annoying. And I think it's a bit of a bit of dirty play. I think it's kind of like in soccer when the person gets kicked in the ankle and then flies 4 miles in the air and lands on the other side of the field and rolls around for an hour and a half just to get
soccer.
A yellow card. Yeah. Well, I've been watching the World Cup nonstop. So
yeah,
I can't
exactly.
The finals on Sunday. It's going to be great. Yeah. But so my biggest thing is I don't like it. It makes me cringe. And I don't like that, but I'm also not a very confrontational person. I'll tell you to go F yourself, but only if you really deserve it. Cassidy didn't deserve it. However, Carla, swing for the freaking fences. You're never going to play again. And she didn't come out here and pull some bullshit like Jeff Varner pulled, like where all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to literally ruin your life so that I can try to stay in the game longer. Like Carla played complete within the rules of Survivor, didn't make it personal and just said, if you don't do this, blah, blah, blah. And Cassidy can either go with it or not. Cassie didn't go with it. And now Carla's kind of being used as the scapegoat for why Cassie didn't win. Cassie didn't win because Gabler just won the jury over. That's really the only thing that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, but I think at the same time, there is the difference is like, how clear is it versus not how clear? Because Carla said she was going to do that. What we know is this jury had a list of things and Carla is the second to last jury member. So she comes in and does have more context on Cassidy than anybody else and does have her bias against Cassidy. So naturally, even if she didn't go there and be like, no one's allowed to vote for Cassidy, blah, 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 naturally she's going to go in and be like, here are some downturns to her. I am not like that doesn't take away from Gabler winning, but that does that's just how the jury works because they don't jury doesn't watch Cassidy win an immunity. They watch Gabler win fire. And this is just the nature of the jury. And I also think I've said this before, and this would apply to me and apply to anyone. Jury members don't like to vote wrong. And so I think people like to hop on a train. And I think that's why you see this and last being so different. And we heard that or being such
landslides. Yeah.
And like with Winners at War, like it was gonna happen, but they purposely moved things because they didn't want certain people to win. So TLDR on that is Carla's kind of bitter. I don't think she went in and like deeply poisoned anything, but she was one of the last jurors, had the closest relationship to Cassidy. That is going to have an effect on how people view her.
And I agree with you. And so one thing I will say is, you might be able to make the argument that Carla is bitter, right? Like Alexa just did make the argument that she's a little bitter. I mean, and that's fine.
Why
she has every right to be bitter. Like she has every right. My biggest problem right now, and again, it's because I was live tweet. I never live tweet. Normally, whenever we have live tweeting, it's Alexa.
I know. I was blown away.
I know. I was killing it too. People were like, "Wow, Phil, you're so good at this. Did you like my tweet about Phil needs medical after Gabler won?"
Yeah, that was good.
Funny, but to say that the whole jury was bitter and that's why Cass lost. My biggest complaint about that argument right now is Cass didn't vote. Like Cass didn't really hurt anybody's feelings on this season. It wasn't like she went out and played a Russell Hantz kind of game where you could be like, oh God, they were so bitter, or Chrissy Hoffbeck. Like Chrissy played such an aggressive, Carla played the more, if I get to the end, people are going to be bitter and not vote for me because I was ruthless to them. Cassidy did play nice with everybody. And I think Cassidy played a really solid social game, which is what she wanted to do. And she played under the radar and blah, blah, blah. It really worked. And I really dug Cassidy. I really did. I just think that there's this illusion that it was just because of a bitter jury that she lost. And while Carla may have been bitter, she got six, or Gabler got six other votes. And nobody was sitting there going, Cassidy, you're the reason I'm sitting here and I hate you. Like that didn't happen. Like we've seen with real bitter. When the last time the season like this happened, when it was Survivor Gabon, that was a legitimately bitter. You had people talking about eating narcotics. Like it's different.
I think bitter juries also look different now than they used to, because it's like a little less personal. Well, it's personal just in like a different kind of flavor. Yeah. But I think like nobody likes to say that juries can be bitter, and I'm one of them. But I think a jury can be bitter and also be valid. Like a bitter jury is the jury. Like you can't change that. So I think it's like, I don't know. It's all one and the same to me. Like Carla can be bitter, but she still voted the way she did. Like it's fine. The jury can be bitter. Yeah. But what the hell was I going to say based on that? I don't know. I think it was definitely really interesting. I think, whoever you're seeing saying that like Cassidy, that's probably people on Twitter. Like I don't
know. It's not just like, that's the thing too. Like I don't just take like the random things from like random people on Twitter. It is like people who like actually like have platforms where I'm like, wait a second. Like, do we watch the same show? Because I do think that Cassidy was so likable, but I think that back when the Ellie vote happened, because of what we had seen in the pre-merge, what was funny about the Ellie vote, right, was that was the turning point that set Gabler on his winning path. If you rewatch this season, that was the moment that set Gabler on the trajectory to win the game of Survivor. The problem was in that the episode before that, I think it was the episode before that, Cassidy's winner edit had already started as well. And because of what we had seen from Gabler in the pre-merge, which was he puts palm fronds on people and he's trying to vote himself out of the game when he has an idol, just like moron alert stuff. It felt like the Ellie move was a bad move at the time because everything Gabler had done had been shown to be wrong by then. And what happens? Cassidy starts taking off, and now Cassidy's going to be the winner. I think when that happened, people were so blinded by either Jesse or Cassidy are going to win this game, because Carla's edit started to kind of nosedive. It was like Jesse or Cassidy are going to win this game, that everybody just started disregarding Gabler altogether, because what the hell has that guy done right? But he was explaining his game to us very clearly. And I think that, Cody, Jesse, I think Ryan, he did a great job of working over Ryan. Ryan was giggling like a schoolboy in that final tribal council, which is what you got to do. You got to know how to work each individual person. And I think like with those three people, I think he just had a good relationship with Sammy. So I don't think they were bitter. I don't think there was a way to be bitter towards this final three, because none of them were that dominant. Like I personally believe that no matter who won this, it was going to be a mid-tier Survivor winner at best. It was never going to be the top tier because they didn't do what Jesse did.
I think that actually, like what you just said, that actually speaks to how much I enjoyed the edit, even though I complained so much about the Jesse thing. I think Carla was better, not the whole jury.
I agree.
I think the whole jury was like...
But that doesn't mean Carla deserves the hate that she is currently receiving.
Oh, God, no. She never does. Wild. I fucking hate when people do that. Can everyone
it's
be nice?
It's so awful.
My God.
She awful. Hates women. That's what we're hearing. It's like, what are we
watching? Don't do this. Don't do this to her. She must love this show, and you're all ruining it for her, so don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
What I will say is this shows how strong the edit is, because like you just said, a lot of people were discounting Gabler. A lot of players were discounting Gabler. Mm-hmm. Like, we believe the edit more than we ever say we will, but really like this. Like at the beginning, it's like Jesse and Cassidy. Then in the middle, it's Cassidy and Jesse. And then at the end, it's becoming Cassidy, Jesse, and Gabler. Like all three of them had winners edits. And if Cassidy won with the edit she got, I would have liked a little bit more out of her.
Agreed.
Out of the producers to have given us. But what is really unique is that all three of them, even Carla, even like Noelle, all could have won and I would have felt satisfied. And as annoyed as I am or was with how much Jesse content we got, I am satisfied that so many people could have won with the edits that they got. And that is an improvement.
Here's my thing, right? So this is what I'll say. Aubrey and Chrissy. Maybe Amanda. Those are the only people, the only women with a better second place edit in the history of this show than what Cassidy just got. Those are the only three women with a better second place edit than what Cassidy just got. I really believe that. Because normally when a woman gets second or third place, they don't get edited very well. Aubrey, everybody thought was going to win. She was a clear number one. Chrissy's a clear number two. I think Amanda Kimmel in Fans versus Favorites is a number three. Courtney Yates barely got edited in China. She's one of the greats of all time because she's freaking sassy, but they could only use about 1/18th of what she said because they weren't ready to just bleep out everybody's mouth like they were in this season. So I think Cassidy has a top five second place edit of any female to ever play. Now, I don't know how many women actually played and got second, but let's say second or third, right? Like, let's say somebody who made the final tribal and lost. She's top five. She really is. Her edit was incredible. And then you'd probably have to throw in Sugar or something like that. But her edit was very good for a non-winner who played the game that she played. Mm-hmm. But when you think she's going to win, it feels like she's being under-edited. I want to throw this out because we're talking about it. Now, again, this is from Sucks, so these aren't really the numbers we were using all year, but it's the only ones I can find right now. Cody, 52 confessionals. Carla, 56 confessionals. Wow. Jesse, 60 confessionals. Owen, 55 confessionals. Cassidy, 44, and Gabler, 46.
Wow, that is even.
It legitimately doesn't get any better than that. It does not get any better than that. The most confessionals on this season was 60. Now, I just think
Jesse only had four more than Carla. That is mind blowing.
And now I just want to draw attention to this because at final six, this is the final six for 42. Omer with 41, Lindsay 45, Jonathan 31, Romeo 33, Mike 57, Marianne 48. Not even close to this season. And then 41, you had Danny with 28, Ricard 36, Heather with 13. Oh. Xander had 17 in the finale alone. He had 56, Deshaun had 56, and Erica had 39. This season was so evenly edited. And it was just were you along for the ride? And realistically, no matter who won out of that final three, I was so pleased with the outcome of this season. I really was. Yeah. Because Jesse making the final three, probably better in the long term for Survivor because it's one of the most dominant games we would have ever seen. He played one of the most dominant games to not win the game. And he deserves all the credit in the world. He played absolutely incredibly. Mm-hmm. But by him not making the final three, I had no idea who was going to win the entire time, and I'm so much more into that. If Cass wins, I am thrilled for Cass. If Owen wins, I am thrilled for Owen. And if Gabler wins, I am thrilled for Gabler. Gabler just ended up being the one who won. But man, what a fun freaking ride it was to get there. How the hell did we end up here?
Yeah, and we've been saying this since the final eight, since like Noelle was the last person to go out. Every single one of them would have been a satisfying winner. Mm-hmm. And that I genuinely cannot think of the last time I felt that way.
No.
And that's really cool.
It's really fun.
I'm going to make a huge record scratch because the only thing that stuck out to me at the reunion was Jeff channeling his 2005 Jeff by looking Gabler dead in the eye and asking him if he was rich. I fell out of the couch when he asked that. I had to rewind.
I know that goes up there with asking Aaron, what was it? Aaron, you're the hot, you're the lawyer with big boobs or whatever the hell he said.
He's Courtney, if she was anorexic, Eric, if he,
yeah, he was really like,
dude,
really going back to Nam here. But yeah, I agree. I think it was actually a question that was fair in this moment. And my only reasoning is,
yeah, it was the phrasing was like, ooh.
Yeah. The phrasing was weird, but it really was the question. Because the thing is, we know he's a heart valve specialist, right? So we know that Gabler has money. He lives in Idaho. It's one of the cheapest states to live in. Like, he has money. So But at the same time, this was a 100% selfless act.
Totally.
And it's so hard for Americans living in a capitalist society sometimes to understand a totally selfless act. Because I'll say right now,
I was
texting our good friend Tiffany about this last night. I said, if I win $1 million on Survivor, I'm fleeing the country. Like, get out of here. I'm not staying here. I'm not giving my money to anybody. I'm taking my money. My wife's going to be lucky if she gets any of it. And that's it. Like, it's over. But to see this selfless act, it's almost jarring. And it's almost like, you know, Jesse's sitting there and Jesse's playing for his family. And you know what?
Yeah,
that man, you have every right to play this for your family, and you give it to your family, and you do that because that's what it's all about. You do what you want to do when you get this money. And I think that as much as this will be looked at, oh, he donated, Gabler did this for his family in the way that Jesse would have done it for his family, except Gabler's family's in a different position than Jesse's. And for Gabler to go out there and say that he's doing this in honor of his father and mm-hmm. and all these other veterans who he knows who were important to him in his life, who were either killed or injured or POWs or any of that stuff, to be able to go and give this money to them, that meant so much to him. The same way it would have meant so much to Jesse to give that to his wife and his kids. And I think that's what's important about this. So Jeff asked the question. It's a jarring way to ask it, but Gabler was well off enough that he didn't need $1 million to change his life. And this did change his life the same way that it would have, not maybe in the same circumstances.
No, but it's like that, this, like did. That's important to him. And it's how often can somebody just give $1 million to charity? It's so rare. I thought it was so cool. One, because he, like, out of all the people who said they would donate the million, I've never actually like felt it to be true. But this, like, for it to be such a declaration, he told us before and he told us afterwards. It's really special. And yeah, I'm more laughing at like how Jeff asked, but that is important to him because he would never be able to do it. But like, this is a golden opportunity for him to be able to like give back in that way. And it was really cool also because people don't really talk about the money much anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is a million now versus what was it 20 years ago?
We all complain that it's not enough. Like, all
right. like as if I wouldn't take $1 million check right now.
You can take my taxes. I don't care.
Literally, take whatever you need. But Jesse, like everyone's after the experience. I love Survivor, blah, blah, blah. It was really refreshing to hear Jesse say, like, I don't have money. I literally need this for my family. And for Gabler to say, this is a very important amount of money. I want to do something with it. People don't really talk about that anymore. And it's probably because people are uncomfortable talking about money, which I totally get. But you're on the show for $1 million. And sure, some people would go and do it for free. I sure as hell wouldn't. So like own that. Like own that you're there for the experience and for the money. And I think it was really cool to see the dichotomy there. And I love everyone staring at him saying that. I was like, man, I don't know if I'm big enough. I probably would have taken the money, but
everybody would have taken the money.
Like, that's really cool of him. And
yeah,
that's really special and different.
And again, I think that's just what made this season so enthralling to me. Like I'm going to get so much hate, Alexa, in the future when we're doing this podcast, because I'm always going to refer back. Remember how great 43 was? And everybody's going to be like, oh my God, Phil, I'm going to kill you. And
I think this will age well. I have a feeling this season's going to age better than the other ones.
I just think it's polarizing in the way Gabon is, right? Like a lot of people will put Gabon in their top 10 and then you'll get like those few people are so vocally hateful of Gabon. I feel like that's what this season is going to be. And I really enjoy this season, but what I love about it is how authentic Gabler was in this, right? Gabler didn't say this. See, I turned to Rachel and I said, if he says this before they vote, he's not going to win because they're not going to like that. And that's going to look showy. It's going to look show, but like, oh, give me the money so I can give it to veterans. And if you don't vote for me, then you don't like veterans. He didn't do that. He waited till afterwards. He got the money and then he said it, and good for him because it was so authentic. And Ryan's reaction was authentic. And Carla's reaction was authentic. And Janine's reaction was authentic. And you have all these people. And this is what I love about Survivor and why I think that Survivor is like the great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Canadian, American.
No white, more Canadians.
Black. Doesn't matter. Yeah, no more Canadians though. But it doesn't matter. It does not matter. If you go out there and you're the person that these two people just connect, None of that matters. You just go and you play the game and you do what you have to do. And I think this season showed that, right? Because Gabler and Carla, I don't think could be any further away from each other in the real world. And yet Carla voted for Gabler to win the game. And that's not because she's some woman hating monster. That is because she voted for Gabler for whatever her reason is. And she was genuinely excited when he said, I'm giving this to the veterans. Like,
yeah,
all of that. That's what I love about Survivor. And that's what I think is great about this show. And, you know, I wish that it would bleed over into our society, but it doesn't. It doesn't enough. And that's what's
it doesn't enough. What was really cool about this is, like, Gabler even said that. He's like, people like go and like points to the Survivor 43 and it cuts over. Like, people leave the real world to watch this. And it's not so often. Like, if I'm my mom who doesn't have, I was about to say, who doesn't have internet, who doesn't have a Twitter.
Yeah, Rachel, Alexa's mom is actually a, what are the people the in Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
Oh, she's an Amish woman, but an Amish reality woman. Television.
Yeah.
If you're my mom who doesn't, like, for example, doesn't have a Twitter, or a lot of my friends who watched last night who don't care about the things that we do, and it's probably a lot healthier for them, like, all they saw was somebody win a lot and donate money. And like, that net is just very positive. And, you know, and so that's what I want people to, like, take away from this. And I am devastated for Cassidy. I did read her.
Yeah, I read that too. That was brutal.
I read that and it made me want to cry and throw up. But both can exist. Like, I am devastated for Cassidy. Thrilled for Owen. I mean, thrilled for Gabler. And Owen, I love you.
Yeah. I think this goes back to, so I had retweeted, or, you know, my own, on for my own account, not the specialist account, because I don't speak for Alexa, except for last night when I spoke for
Alexa. You were fine. Everything you said, I corroborate every tweet posted last night.
But I had retweeted, Dalton Ross had done an interview with Jeff, and Jeff had talked about how the after show was, like, here to stay and blah, blah, blah.
You could have tweeted that from our...
I could have, right? Because
I,
like,
could have agreed. Oh my God, that made me so mad to read that.
Here's my thing. What happened to Cassidy last night, what happened to Romeo the season before, what happened to Deshaun and Xander both in 41, because I don't count Mike in that, and I don't count Owen in that, because I don't think Owen knew he didn't have a chance, and Mike was very gracious. That is why we should not do this right then and there. Because
don't put her through that.
Don't put her through, because then she has to sit there and pretend she's having a good time when all she's wondering is, how the hell did I just lose this $1 million to this freaking guy with a goatee wearing camo and shorts that are now no longer reaching mid thigh? Like, how did I lose to this guy? Yeah, I know. Everybody's sweating.
It's getting a little hot in here.
But it's really brutal to put the players through that. You already put them through enough. There's no need to do that, because now think about this. Cassidy would have found out, they all would have talked. Cassidy would have found out she lost before this, right? There's no way they're keeping a secret. They're all too close, whatever, doesn't matter. But Cassidy would have had time to come to terms with it. She would have sat down on finale night. She would have lost. She would have went out. She would have gotten hammered in LA, which she might have done anyway last night. I have no idea. I wasn't there. But she would have been able to have a good time, although Will did meet Jesse, and I'm very jealous. He has pictures with him, and they both look destroyed.
Oh,
but,
sure.
But it was also sent to me at 4 o'clock in the morning Eastern. So, but I really think that we had such a reaction when Jessica Lewis, what happened to her in season 33, that changed a lot of things, right? Now, if you were one step away from making the family visit, your loved one came out to Ponderosa, because Jessica Lewis was so down on everything after that. And her loved one got to come and all that, blah, blah, blah. I think we need to have that same sort of empathy for these people who just lost $1 million, because Cassidy didn't understand why yet. And she has to sit there and hear everybody kind of gloat about Gabler and be like, oh my God, this sucks. And I think that it's devastating and it's hard, and you can't put yourself in those shoes. And it feels cocky of CBS to, like, put these people through this when almost every other show has that real life reunion. Like Big Brother, I know that's also in the moment, but you should have a real life reunion.
And, like, I agree. Cassidy can't even give a good answer because she thought she won like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So how can you expect her? How can you expect her to be gracious, first of all? And second, how can you expect her to even give a good answer? Or Owen too? Like, they just had their dreams crush. And don't say this is for anything other than cost cutting.
Yeah,
because this is one of few times where it really matters to talk to the pre-jury. You have to talk to Dwight and you have to talk to Ellie, two people who are vital to the end of this. And they film it at like CBS Studios. Like it's just, I get it's expensive to fly everyone there, but it flies things through really quickly. And this was the case with Jonathan last year. And this was the case for Jesse too. Like Jonathan and Jesse, I'm sure they knew live, like these were going to be big time characters, but to have like a whole 6 months to sit on that and to marinate on that. And for Jesse to say like, someone recognized me and it was so exciting. And you know, for people who are formerly incarcerated, like that means a lot to them. Like Jesse could only speak to what just happened. Yeah. I just think it's absolutely not better. If you want to reveal the winner live and then do a live reunion, I'm fine with that.
Dalton Ross said, why not do both? Why aren't we doing both?
I think revealing the winner immediately, I like that because that's really real. And then get them out of there.
Yeah.
I think they need to sit on this. Cassidy flew, 40 hours home, like having a panic attack? Like, what are you doing to her? That's ridiculous.
It is. It is. And again, like, it's so hard because, you sign up for Survivor. There's going to be winners. There's going to be losers. There's going to be people who come out of that mentally messed up. We see it every season. There's going to be people who come out feeling good about themselves. But I agree with you. Like, imagine Jesse being able to sit at a reunion and talk about how important this was for the people who have reached out to him and talked to him, kind of like a Rupert Bonham. I mean, realistically, for as much as that might make people roll their eyes now, Rupert Bonham did great things for like the kids that he felt that he was most like, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesse has such a platform now, and he's going to use that platform for good. We know he is. It's going to happen. But it would have been nice to see him cleaned up talking about, hey, instead of the last thing being, okay, he lost, the last thing being, you know, I came home, I have my family. That's what's important. It's okay to lose these kinds of monumental things because the money isn't what makes you. It's who you are as a person, right? Like that is, imagine that coming out on live TV. That's going to be great. And that's going to be great for the people who he has watching that because he was talking about people in juvenile hall and all that. That's great. Okay. And we don't get that. And Gabler talking about, you know, the veterans and doing all that. I want more about that kind of stuff. I want, how is Cass feeling in this moment? And how has her life been different? How is Owen feeling now that he's actually been able to remove himself?
Yeah. Like, are you and Carla friend? Have you guys reconciled?
Yeah.
Have you not? Like, they probably wanted to kill each other right there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really out on it.
I'm out on it. And I just think it's unfair. Cassidy played a fantastic game. And it's unfair that she doesn't really get to enjoy. Everybody gets to enjoy it except for the two people at Final Three who lose. And that sucks because they deserve to enjoy it just like everybody else deserves to enjoy it. James was annihilated last night. Yeah. I mean, James was drinking champagne from the bottle. That man was destroyed. Good for him. But also, he got 10th place, 9th place, whatever the hell it was. He doesn't deserve to be as damn happy as he was. It should be Cassidy and Owen who are that happy. It should be about them. And that's what the reunion would do. The reunion made it about the final three and about the final four and about the final five. This after show makes it about the winner and everybody else on the jury. It doesn't make it about the second and third place finishers.
Yeah, because the jury, they've already, like, they're good. Like, James has been drinking for 3 weeks.
Yeah, 5 days,
whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it can't be 3 weeks. He's been drinking since he got on the island.
Yeah, right. But I really dislike it. It's probably, like, pretty up there with, I don't know. It's just really bad. I hope they get rid of it. They never will. But that, like, I get this every finale, like that kind of nostalgia. And it's like, oh, I'm sad. I'm like relieving this group. But that it doesn't bring out what, like watching with my parents. And it's like, oh my God, they're so good looking now.
Yeah.
Like, they look at all this weight they gave.
Courtney
Hayes
became a fan favorite because of how dolled up she was at that.
Exactly. Like that. And like seeing their families come out like that. To me, that's worth however much it costs to do.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I'm not a CBS executive.
But you will be one day, Alexa. You're on your way. One thing that I feel like we need to talk about before we end this, because we're over an hour, but this was a really fun finale and it was worth talking about. But I do want to mention the Carla vote for Jesse. Okay. So a lot of people thought this also kind of leans into the bitterness of Carla, right? Is she just voting for Jesse to ruin his perfect game? No, no, no. Here's the thing with this.
Oh, but
Carla,
they're crossing out the C, like, girl.
Oh, so good. Oh. But here is the thing with this vote by Carla. Earlier in the day, Jesse had said, I could potentially play my idol for you, right? Mm-hmm. He was thinking about it. It was clearly mentioned to her. He talks about it at that tribal, whatever. Carla knows that if she's going to win the game, she needs Jesse out of the game. She also knows that whoever takes Jesse out is going to get a lot of street cred over there with the jury, right? It's going to happen. So what she does, she knows that she's going to get the votes after this thing breaks down. And if she doesn't get the vote, she's kind of pulling a page out of Sammy's book here where if you all vote Cassidy, it doesn't matter if I vote Cassidy because Cassidy's only one vote. So I'm going to vote Jesse just in case.
Yeah.
Now, if Jesse plays his idol for Carla, Carla gets his idol and then votes Jesse out with one vote. Right. It's brilliant. Even if Cass were to turn around and vote for Carla, right. Or whoever, let's say Jesse voted for Cassidy because he wanted Cassidy out. Carla votes for Jesse. Now we have a tie. Cassidy and Jesse don't vote. Jesse goes home in a 3-0 vote. No doubt about it. So really this was a very good vote by Carla and really all she could do in this moment. I don't think she's getting enough credit for that. That was going down swinging the same way. Owen was going down swinging the same way. Jesse went down swinging. I feel like that was a really underrated vote that strategically made a lot of sense. And she had to make that decision very, very quickly while sitting there after that. The first deserved live tribal in about 14 seasons.
Yeah, that worked. I was still like, ugh, but it makes sense because Jesse introduced something that nobody expected to be happening, especially Janine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Poor Janine, man. Oh man, she went through the ringer on this.
She season. Really did, but she took it in stride. She was awesome. I really exciting finish. To be honest, it felt like the finale dragged until it got to the final tribal. I think I'm a little sick of the like 15 minutes to talk about fire making and then like 15 minutes after the final three talking about, I want them to just go to final tribal, but I think that's just kind of how the show is. I thought it was a really great finish. I thought it was a really strong final five, really strong, like final eight, whole really, really good season. Mm-hmm. Really unique. I really liked it.
I thought, you know, what kept me involved in this finale the whole time was that I didn't know who was going to win. And that to me, totally. You know, it's kind of like, you watch a finale of a show and you don't know how it's going to end. And so there might be a scene that feels a little slow, but you're like, okay, how is this going to impact the ending here?
Yeah.
I was all in on this finale. I personally think this is one of the best finales the show's ever had. Now, I also said that with Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, because I really believe it still to this day. But maybe I just really love the Ben Gabler thing. I really do think that because of the unpredictability of this finale, it was the most fun I had watching a Survivor finale in a very long time. I haven't been this far because Tony, we knew he was going to win 40. Tommy was the only option really in 39. I mean, you could have made the argument for Lauren, but she just didn't have the edit. 38, we didn't know what was going to happen. And then when Chris ends up winning, we're all like, well, that sucks. Yeah, 37, it seemed pretty obvious it was going to be Nick. 36 was the last finale that really floored us, but everything up to the final three was drama-free. It was boring. It was a snooze fest. So this one was dramatic the entire time, and that's what I appreciated so much about this episode. So yeah. I was really into it the whole way.
Challenges were close and good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carla almost pulled it out with the thing. It's crazy that Guarantee fit in those slots, even though it wasn't one of the words. Gabler doesn't know the difference between CV and U. like it was fun. And this season to me was fun. And there's, you know, I believe that this was a great cast. What Survivor was supposed to be about, from different walks of life coming out to build a society and compete for $1 million. This was the first season to me that felt like real Survivor pretty much since like Money Hunters versus Gen X or Gabon. Like it has been, not Gabon, Ko-Rong. It has really been that long for me. Game Changer didn't feel like it. Heroes, Healers, Hustlers was what it was. Ghost Island stunk. DVG was great, but DVG didn't feel like that old school Survivor yet. You know, this had old school feels, had new school feels. It was surprising the entire way through. I love this season. I love it. Every single character brought it.
Killer cast. This season had a killer cast, top to bottom. So that's the common denominator we tend to see.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll throw out. So here's our winners. We don't have the prop bet winner yet because Alexa and I need to actually go through it. So for the bootless game, in our winner with 53 points, and again, proving that everybody reads spoilers, except for on this season because there were none, Liam Clark was the winner. So Liam, you have to reach out to us. Alexa, what's the, you have everybody emails us, right?
Oh, I should have everyone's emails. I have the thing up, but, okay. Yeah, if you're listening and you want to email us, that would be great. We're going to try to find your email, but servicespecialist@gmail.com.
So that's for Liam Clark for the power ranking game. So Alexa, let me clear my throat real quick. I had a perfect,
it was so funny
because I was saying that to Will last night and he just goes, dude, you told everybody that you were 95% sure Jesse was going to win. It doesn't count if you say that. But
you literally did it to do it.
I had a perfect finale, which allowed me to tie with you.
The tie. So
we both ended with 106. And guess what? We smoked our Patriots. We won. So really, Alexa and I should be splitting a damn buff. Alex Trias and Angela Mangano tied with 102. Now, Angela had a perfect finale, which would be the tiebreaker, but I don't think we ever announced that as the tiebreaker.
Yeah, we can't.
So Alex and Angela both just email us and somebody donate $20 to us. Okay. So those are those for the fantasy game. And this one comes from Vintage Survivor Store. So we got to reach out to Vintage Survivor Store to get the package and let them know. That goes to Forrest DeGroat. He smoked everybody. Forrest had Gabler on his team. He had who did Forrest have? Forrest had Gabler and Cassidy and Jesse. So the fact that he had Justine didn't hurt him at all.
Forrest, email us with your shipping address.
Yes, shipping address. And I didn't buy the buffs ahead of time, so I'm just gonna be shipping them straight from CBS so that I don't have to pay for them to get here and then pay for them to get somewhere else. And then we don't have the, like I said, we don't have the prop bet yet, so we're just waiting on that one. We'll announce that winner shortly. For the fantasy game between myself, Alexa, Robert, and Vaughn, y'all can just wave to the winner here because I won again, second time in a row. Feels really good.
Fantasy's tough. Poor Robert.
The real reason that I won, though, was because Vaughn said Lindsay was an underdog, reminds him of Chrissy Hoffbeck. And I jokingly, two votes later, said, well, if Lindsay's Chrissy Hoffbeck, then Gabler is Ben Driebergen, and he's going to win the whole thing. I did not actually think Gabler was going to win Survivor 43 when I made that pick. But damn, my first two picks were Jesse and Gabler. Who would have thunk? So I ended up one with second. Alexa did get last, but that was because her best finisher was Noelle, and that pretty much says everything.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. And an intern got a lot of points from Cassidy. So I love this season. My final note on this is going to be, like, to everybody who's actually listening to us, be kind out there. Be nice on Twitter. These are real people. They're real human beings. They don't hate you. They don't hate this, whatever you think that they hate, just because they voted for Mike Gabler or anything like that. To the survivors who are spewing that nonsense, get a life. That's all I'll say. Alexa?
Well, we're going to do our best to get survivors on the show in the next few weeks.
Not those survivors. These real survivors.
I don't know who you're talking about, but we'll do that after. Well, we're going to hopefully have some tell-alls from this cast. We might need to give them a beat. Like, it usually takes a couple days just to get everything set up. But typically, we're going to try to do it in the next couple weeks. Hopefully, we can get some people. We're really excited. Become a patron. We're going to keep all of our patron content for the off season. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming up for 44, which has a late start, like a mid
March one.
March 1. So we'll figure out some ways to kill time in the off season, but fingers crossed, send all the good vibes for us to get some contestants. We'd really love to hear from some of them.
We want no drama.
Please. In the meantime, hope you all have a wonderful morning. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast. I'm ready to finally wake up. Phil can see through his eyes again.
I can.
Everyone, happy end of season 43. Congrats to all the players. We love you all, and we'll see y'all on the other side.
Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye.